You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kamala Harris being interviewed by the NAB, and then Donald J. Trump being interviewed by the NAB a few weeks ago. Quite a contrast, but the headline here today is that she's saying that she's going after the vote of African-American men. That happening in Philadelphia, making national news. We have locally residents in Collingdale, Delaware County, expressing their outrage last night over local leaders trying to make a hire for the town's police chief. I mean, this meeting was erupted into shouting. People were yelling. People were angry. So in this situation, they're very upset about a man who they say actually is a suspect in a criminal proceeding. And the Delaware County Police Union actually says that this gentleman is on leave right now from his job as a Chester police officer and is under investigation for alleged misconduct on the force. So people in the community are saying, how in the world can you make this individual the chief of police when he's under a criminal investigation?
Oh boy. Oh boy. Here we go again, right?
So they were supposed to finalize the employment of the new police chief, Raheem Blandon. He denies the charges against him that he tipped off as a police officer, a murder suspect.
Oh, he tipped him off, allegedly.
He tipped somebody off. That's the allegation. He denies it.
Okay.
He says he's an innocent man.
All right.
So we're following that one for you for sure this morning. We are sponsored, by the way, this morning by First Harvest Credit Union in Kale & Company News Live. Another proceeding making international news, and that is Sean Diddy Combs, expected this afternoon to appeal a federal judge's decision to hold the artist and music mogul without bail after he pleaded not guilty in federal court to charges of racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking, transportation to engage in prostitution. That was yesterday. But this afternoon, it's 3:30 this afternoon Eastern time. Until this afternoon, he is being held. He's behind bars.
As he should be. I mean, I think yesterday his attorney tried to get a $50 million bond, and the judge was like, yeah, that's not happening. You're staying in the joint. I don't blame him.
Yeah, so we have that one going on.
Did you read some of these stories?
Yeah.
I mean,
just the list. I mean,
it was horrible.
If this guy was ever sent to a general population, if this is, you know, accurate and true,
yeah,
they're going to kill him.
Or he'll be organizing the freaky stuff in the prison.
Yeah. The freakouts, as I believe the terminology that they were talking about.
Freakout parties.
Freakout parties,
Where they brought in, allegedly, I guess we have to say all this allegedly, they brought in sex workers from other...
Male sex workers.
Oh,
really?
Wow, mm-hmm. Yeah, those rumors have been out there about Diddy for a long time.
Allegedly. Yeah.
He likes all genders, apparently.
And they would send them after they, you know, perform these freaky acts. They would and drugs and all that stuff. They would send them IV drips.
Yeah. What do you think the over-under is on the amount of people that we probably... Like, if there was, let's say, the Diddy list, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, along the lines of the Epstein list, what would you put the over-under at for names, allegedly, of big-time celebrities and Hollywood bigwigs that are, you know, partaking in the same disgusting acts? I'd set the over-under at least 3.5 dozen.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be names in this that I think are going to come out. That may or may not have participated in these freakouts.
Yep.
You think?
Yeah.
That's anybody who went to his parties, that's what his assistant, part of what we learned from that civil lawsuit was that anybody who went to P. Diddy's parties, whatever you did,
yeah,
it was captured on hidden cameras.
Yep.
Phil, do you have cut nine? Since we're doing this right now, the U.S. attorney for the SDNY was taking questions yesterday when they gave the press conference, asking if there was, you know, if there was any precautions being taken because, Nick, of what you said about the Epstein situation. Nick, if you have, Phil, if you have cut nine, if you want to roll it.
Does the memo address, or is your office concerned with Combs' safety in custody, given given what happened with Epstein?
So we are concerned with anyone's safety whenever they are detained prior to trial. It's part of our obligations to keep people safe as well. It's part of the criminal justice system. So. But I do not draw any sort of connection between Jeffrey Epstein's suicide and what may or may not happen to any other defendant while they are detained pretrial. And of course, the decision whether to detain the defendant will be up to a judge. Our position is that pretrial detention is warranted under the law and based on the facts of this case. And I'll leave it at that.
Are some of the prosecutors on this case some of the same prosecutors that had been handling that or that worked on the Maxwell case?
So I'm not going to get into the staffing. I will say that this team, this group of AUSAs, this incredible group has been working on this case around the clock, and they've had their hands full.
Yeah, so he basically pulls a Karine Jean-Pierre.
I'm not going to get beyond that.
I would
refer you to the White House.
Okay. Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein's suicide. Be interesting to see if any of the cameras in the criminal justice system in the correction facility just happen to go out and be non-operational one night when Diddy's in the cell down in the corner of cell block C. Just a prediction.
Heesh. Yeah, it's so he's in court this afternoon, but remaining behind bars. So we're following that story for you very carefully. And a Hamilton Township, New Jersey man under arrest. This is a disturbing story because this man was somebody who worked in parks such as Sesame Place and dressed as a costume character. So he's been arrested after a major New Jersey investigation into online child exploitation.
Oh, God, don't tell me that.
Another freak.
We'll
put him with Diddy, too.
What was it? What was his costume done? Just asking for a friend.
He was Big Bird.
Man.
Allegedly, it was Big Bird.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No,
that's why I didn't say it, because, you know, it's a Sesame character.
I was just guessing.
But that wasn't the only one.
First thing I've got right in 2 years.
Man.
19-year-old Don Diego Parkman charged with aggravated sexual assault, manufacturing child sex abuse material, endangering the welfare of a child. This all according to the Mercer County prosecutor made this major announcement yesterday. And so the prosecutor's office says they filed a motion to detain him pending trial, want to keep him behind bars.
Yes.
So this is the Mercer County Prosecutor's Internet Crimes Against Children Unit. It's a special unit, as well as the state police has an accompanying task force that works with this unit. They received information, they say, earlier this month from law enforcement all the way in Missouri about a child in their area who'd been chatting, allegedly, and exchanging child sex abuse material with Parkman. So detectives then were honed in on him as he had moved here to New Jersey, obviously, and that is when they have found him, you know, found him to have done some of this. And this is all through photos, videos, and I'm trying to clean it up a little bit. It's pretty graphic. But he's Sesame Place put out an announcement. Sesame Place in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, they put out an announcement. He is no longer employed
thank
by Sesame Place.
Oh, well, thank God. Thank God.
And they pointed out his arrest is not actually related to Sesame Place. Any questions should be directed to the Mercer County Prosecutor's Office.
Okay.
That's their statement.
All right.
Finally, just a talker, as a New York woman is challenging the rules of the Miss America and Miss World pageants or scholarship contests that disqualify mothers from their pageants. So Danielle Hazel making this announcement, her attorney, Philadelphia native Gloria Allred, She says that she dreamed of entering competitions, but was devastated to learn she's no longer eligible because she had a son when she was 19 years old. And so her son Zion, now 6 years old, she's 25, and she wants to be able to enter into, you know, a Miss America or Miss World pageant.
So let me get this straight. A biological man can enter into Miss America contests, but a biological female who is now a mother cannot.
Well, that I didn't hear Gloria Allred make that argument, but that's a pretty good one.
weren't we talking about some of these stories where biological dudes that are transitioning to females are competing in female beauty pageants? I swear we had a story or two on that.
I don't know that it was. I don't know it's Miss America.
Miss America, Miss Universe, Miss Galaxy,
I think it was
whatever.
Miss Galaxy.
Whatever.
Guardian of the Galaxy.
So you can see, not that the age matters either, but how old is the mom? Do we know?
So she's 25.
Oh, Jesus.
She just turned 25. But her point is that when she was 19, she chose life.
Yeah. Okay.
And she has a beautiful son, but she is a single mom. And she had said that she loves her son Zion, and her mistake, you know, as a teenager, shouldn't, you know, have cost her son his life. So it's really interesting that it's sort of a pro-life argument.
Okay,
saying I chose life and I love my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a single parent. I work and all this, but I dreamed of being in these types of competition. There was another woman in the Miss Universe pageant, and I think she's joining on with Gloria Allred's case because she actually won. She went through the process and was a contestant. They found out she had a child. Mm-hmm. And they booted her.
Yeah, boy. I thought we were living in this world of inclusion.
Yeah, not if you're a biological woman.
Yep.
Who chose to have your baby.
That's right.
So this one, you know, I'd seen some people on social media debating it. So an interesting case.
Do we have any still shots of the 25-year-old mom? Any photos we can throw?
I'm just
trying to get more context to the story. That's all.
He's doing his research.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Exile Kraken on the YouTube chat says, let the audience judge.
Yes, I agree. Stalker, you can take first swing at it.
Well, they don't even do the swimsuit competition anymore.
I know.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So we are sponsored this morning by First Harvest Credit Union. Build stronger financial roots with First Harvest Credit Union. Open a growth savings account. Earn as high as 3.5% annual percentage yield while having flexible access to funds. Visit firstharvestcu.com for all the details. Membership restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA. I know we'll talk about financial news up. Some of the interest rates already coming down with the anticipated Fed expected to drop rates and make that announcement. 0.25%. Will it be 0.5%? The mortgage rates already going down to 6%. So First Harvest Credit Union, our appropriate sponsor. But the Phils are the big story because our Phillies, we 5-1 last night, exciting game. So now we're down to 4.
Magic number is 4. Yeah, did they have a weather delay last night? I tried to put it on at 6:40, and
it was 7:40.
Oh, that's right, Central Time.
That's different, because they're in Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Milwaukee Brewers, so.
Yeah, well, they can actually clinch a playoff spot tonight, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they can clinch it tonight.
Yeah.
Division magic number 4.
Yeah. They're looking for the division.
Yeah.
They won Zach Wheeler, won the Cy Young. It's a whole thing.
Got a shot.
Well, he's a contender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
Zach Wheeler pitched in the Phils 5-1 win, and
they
he turned to his four seam 64% of the time.
They could end the season with the best record in baseball.
Hey, let's not gloss over the fact that Dawn just talked about a four seam fastball on the radio. All right, that's a nugget right there that you're not getting anywhere else. I challenge anybody down the hall doing morning sports to come up with 64% four-seamer.
And I know my seams.
You darn right you do. You seamstress, you.
Well, we a drizzly, rainy day today, 68 degrees right now, light rain, kind of a spattering. We could see heavier rain later in the day, the high just 74 degrees. More rain overnight, so we needed this rain. We're getting it midweek. Tomorrow we'll see more rain, but that will taper off. And then the sun will come out for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back into the 80s and back into warmer weather tomorrow. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:19 Wednesday morning. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by United Tire this morning. The big take: media misinformation and government censorship. In the year 2024, the establishment and the mainstream media are attached at the hip more than ever before in their desperate attempts to rid the political world of Donald J. Trump and silence conservatives. Whether it's the Biden-Harris administration or the Harris-Walz campaign, the legacy media, or even washed-up political hacks, they are all on the same page with the same agenda. In today's political climate, disinformation and misinformation are two of the top tools that politicians and media members have at their disposal. And as usual, the Democrats are the ones who pound away at the fear porn of the dangers of said practices, while simultaneously being the biggest violators of what they claim to despise. And I would argue anybody that is a true liberal, ask yourself this: how can you vote for Kamala Harris? A true liberal believes in the First Amendment. They believe in basic civil liberties. The left has made it clear as day that they hate the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But let's start with censorship. Here's the hack herself, Hillary Clinton, who now says that those who engage in misinformation or disinformation should face criminal and or civil charges. This was Hillary on MSNBC with Rachel Maddow. Listen and watch.
Just as Mueller indicted a lot of Russians who were engaged in direct election interference and boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
That right there, my friends, would be called state-run media and also the government infringing upon your rights. That is everything that this country stands against that occurs across the globe in nations with awful rights-oppressing regimes. But let's play along with Hillary's logic for a moment, shall we? Let's put her policy into play. Share misinformation or disinformation or propaganda, go straight to jail. Do not collect $200, right? Okay, well, let's apply that. Here's CNN's Anna Navarro, also of The View, spewing now verified disinformation about Trump and Vance in Ohio after Governor Mike DeWine confirmed that all 30-plus bomb threats were foreign disinformation made from another country. Listen and watch.
It's, you know, I think we should all question the rhetoric. The problem is that Donald Trump, who I think, you know, if you were doing hurricane categories, he's on hurricane category 5, whereas the other side might be a 2. And Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are not questioning their rhetoric. Right now, because of their rhetoric, because of what he said in that debate, there's been 33 bombing threats in Springfield, Ohio, that would not have happened but for this false conspiracy theory being spread by the vice presidential and presidential Republican candidate. And those Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, and those students and the people that are victims of these threats and everything that's going on there don't have 24/7 a Secret Service, right? They're on their own.
If you are watching on YouTube, you will see in the bottom corner the timestamp as that was said live. Those comments were made yesterday, Tuesday, at 8.07 a.m. Eastern Time. DeWine confirmed that this is fake news well before that on Monday. So in Hillary's world, Anna Navarro, you go to jail. But never let a good narrative get in the way of facts, Anna. And the same applies to the New York Times. This time when it pertains to the second assassination attempt of Donald Trump, where the Times claims that Trump is blamed for Springfield, Ohio, and the bomb threats in the first paragraph of an article that was just written in the Times about the assassination attempt. There's also zero mention of the shooter's 19 donations to Democrats in that column, or the shooter's Biden-Harris bumper sticker, which we have shown you the visual of on the back of his truck, or his tweet to Joe Biden about saving and preserving democracy. Instead, the would-be shooter is described in the second paragraph of the New York Times as a disaffected Trump supporter, but no mention of him being a Biden Kamala supporter. So I would argue that that is irresponsible and indefensible journalism. But if you only read the New York Times, you would have zero clue about the full picture and the truth about Ryan Ruth. That, my friends, as Dawn would say, media bias by omission. From censorship to media bias to apologizing. This is a rare media mea culpa, what was made on Monday night. And we assumed that they would be hard to find, if impossible to witness. But credit to News Nation host Chris Cuomo. Can't believe I'm saying this. You may recall all of the violations he made as a CNN Trump-hating honk. But at least he has the professional dignity and the human compassion to call out the media for driving this narrative about Trump being Hitler so hard for so long that it resulted in now two close near-death experiences for Donald Trump. Here was Cuomo going off on News Nation Monday night. Listen and watch.
But he doesn't deserve this. A guy pointing an AK-47 at him while he's playing golf? And we take solace in the fact that the guy didn't get any rounds off? That does not work for me. If I had been through what that guy's been through in the last 2 months, you would not know where I am. You would never see me on TV again. No way I would do that. I don't know how he does it. He's got kids. He's got grandkids. He's got a wife. People giving crap to Melania Trump, worrying about whether or not there was a plot around his husband. How could she not? I totally get why she feels that way, and people mock her. And then her husband has a guy pointed with an AK-47. Where are those people apologizing?
A rare moment of truth from a fired up Chris Cuomo. He almost cursed there. Yep, where are those people apologizing? Tuesday, we gave you the repeated headlines from every outlet how Trump had it coming. What an inhumane, politically corrupted, morally bankrupt thing to say. No matter how bad Joe Biden or Kamala Harris have been or will continue to be, I would never say, well, they had it coming. And when it comes to bans, I don't want any bans on social media with speech and censorship, even for those on platforms that I don't use, saying things that I don't agree with. That includes TikTok and parent company ByteDance from China. I've made it very clear on this show, I hate TikTok. I don't care for China. I darn sure don't like their communist government. I can't stand how they've owned America in many facets for quite some time. And I certainly have no interest in watching people melt down into their cameras on their phones on TikTok over being misgendered. But let them have it. If you don't like it, don't use the app. But here's the truth from two of our great listeners on Twitter. Signs of Autumn tweeted me the following yesterday. I agree. We should never ban TikTok. Once we do it, this will be a landslide of government taking away our rights. I don't go on TikTok, and that should be a choice of everyone. If companies want to ban it at work, that's fine. But let's not ban our freedom outside the workplace. Believe me, if China wants our information, they'll get it somehow. Inglorious 4JP tweets, agreed. I used to be an advocate of blocking TikTok. But as I began thinking more about it, I realized the same thing. Once you give the government the ability to take down a site like TikTok, the same government will make up reasons why they want to take down any site they want. I agree on both accounts. Once they ban TikTok and claim it's to protect you from China, they'll come for Twitter. They'll come for Rumble, Truth Social, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, and more. All in an attempt to preserve democracy, or so they say. Free speech, social media, misinformation, disinformation, the mainstream media, the establishment, and the swamp. Driving a false narrative, creating a problem that doesn't exist, all in the disguise of trying to fix a problem, which in reality is further restriction on your rights. That's the battle that Trump and Vance face. That's the battle that you and I face. And that's the battle that a true liberal should realize that they are facing and should not be advocating for those trying to step on your rights. And it should draw major red flags when both Democrats and Republicans, specifically rhinos, are on the same page about said issues. And that's the big take.
The big take. on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by United Tire. Right now, when you buy any four tires at United Tire, you'll receive a free oil change or a basic four-wheel alignment. United Tire cares as much about your car as you do. Visit UnitedTire.com to find the locally owned United Tire nearest you. Don't drive alone. Drive United. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. And also, on the other side, when you are a rigged hack doing a moderation session on a debate, there's repercussions for that from a credibility standpoint. Oh, David Muir, a little ratings dip, huh? We'll get to that when we continue. It's Kale and Company live on this Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Some amazing footage from what Israel pulled off yesterday to Hezbollah terrorists. If you're not on YouTube yet, get there. We will get to that story, if not to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour early in the 7 o'clock hour. And also, I've got to give Republicans a ton of credit and a lot of love for doing apparently what, if these numbers are true, is something that I've been begging and pleading for you to do. We'll get to that coming up shortly. And also, David Muir. Oh, poor Davy boy. We'll get to you in a second for having such a rigged debate that you have to now deal with a major ratings decline, something that we can't really talk about here on Kale and Company because we never actually go down in that direction, but that's a different story for a different day. Dawn, I want to start with you. I'll let you have at it. Hillary Clinton wants to imprison people for misinformation and disinformation. Ana Navarro likes to spew lies after governors debunk a story she's talking about. And Chris Cuomo is basically ready to drop F-bombs and S-bombs on the air because he's had it with the rhetoric. I'll let you have your swipe at anybody you want to take a shot at.
Well, I would say for Hillary Clinton, be careful what you wish for, because she should be the first one who should be investigated.
Yeah, you're right. By her rules,
she got a pass.
Uh-huh. Yep. And she's talking about Trump and the, what did she say specifically in that clip? The boost he got from Russia. Again, a disproven, debunked hoax. By her own rules and her logic, she would be charged criminally and civilly for sharing disinformation or misinformation. To which I don't even know. Ana Navarro is also on CNN. I thought she was only on The View. So she's got two platforms to spew uninteresting commentary.
And Ana Navarro, she says she's a Republican or whatever. Has anybody seen her?
Oh, wait, she really says that? She claims to be a Republican?
Yeah, she claims to be a conservative.
She just hates Trump?
She must have been a Republican community organizer.
She was a Republican advisor or whatever.
To who?
Who knows?
That's interesting.
Somebody lost.
Okay. Somebody that lost. There you go.
But Hillary Clinton with the Steele dossier funding situation, that for her to talk about Russia, of all people, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I wanted to play Cuomo as well. I saw that clip, and I don't know anybody that watches News Nation. 13 people across the country. But apparently, you know, he had that big rant on Monday night because he's reached a point, and he's been complicit in as well in his past life at CNN, especially throughout the pandemic and even before the pandemic during the first Trump term, where he's spewed the rhetoric, but maybe he's had, you know, the light bulb go off and say, you know what, if you keep saying this dangerous, divisive, inflammatory rhetoric, eventually 1, 2, 3, perhaps 4 crazy people will act on it. And it was almost like he was calling out his liberal media colleagues, asking where the apology is. Now, full disclosure, in the full context of the clip, I watched his whole 17-minute monologue. He himself did not really utter the words I apologize, but it seemed at least he was trying to make it seem like, you know what, people need to stop with the nonsense. I mean, not too often that somebody that's a liberal talking head on news television comes close to cursing Dawn in defense of Donald Trump.
He just wants attention. I don't trust him.
All right.
He just wants attention.
Gotcha.
I think for Hillary Clinton, for her as a former candidate, all she did was whine for, you know, when she lost horribly. So she whined about that and really questioned that election, number one. And number two, in 2022, very quietly, the FEC did did fine her. She had to pay, her campaign had to pay more than $100,000.
That's correct.
For, you know, really obscuring the Steele dossier, that it was oppo research. It was opposition research.
Mm-hmm.
She funded, in other words, her campaign funded Russia, Russia, Russia. They created the whole thing, went before the feds. I thought, let's ask Martha Stewart, I thought that when you lie to the feds, I thought that's immediately a 5-year prison sentence.
Well, yeah.
So isn't that mandatory? You lie to the feds, mandatory 5 years. So I guess by that standard and by her new higher standard, Hillary Clinton, just turn yourself in.
Yep. Well said. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. And that gets us to ABC's David Muir, who is now seeing a major dip in his ratings for his newscast. As you know, if you've ever seen and you've watched 6ABC when they run the promos for the national news shows during the week, in the evening, he's the most watched national network news evening telecast in the country. And he is seeing a big dip in his numbers. According to multiple reports, this one from FoxNews.com, ABC's World News Tonight anchor David Muir may have driven away some of his viewers after the Disney-owned network irked conservatives during last week's presidential debate. Muir's World News Tonight averaged 6.7 million viewers on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which were the three episodes following the Tuesday debate, after averaging 7.6 million in 2024 leading up to the debate. So he lost about almost a million viewers on average for three straight nights.
Man.
How about that?
And those, you would think, I mean, just from a programming standpoint, you would think that people would want to tune in just because he got such a high profile.
And his headlines
the
out
debate.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
The 12% drop in viewers for World News Tonight is more significant than slight declines in CBS's evening news and NBC's nightly news, where comparing those three episodes following the ABC debate, he remained in the number one spot. A couple of other details here. ABC News defenders tried to point out to a 2-week blackout period of Disney-owned stations on DirecTV because of a carrier disagreement between September 1st and the 14th. However, the 6 weekday episodes of World News Tonight that aired prior to the debate during that blackout period were only down 3%.
Hmm.
But of course, after the debate, they dropped another 9%, down to 12% compared to his typical average for the year.
It's funny because you think people would tune in right after the debate just out of curiosity. You know what I mean? Like, that's usually what you see in both radio and TV. So it actually had the opposite effect on him.
Yeah. And we talked about his cohort, Lindsay Davis, who admitted in a post-debate interview that her fact-checking of Trump was influenced by the CNN debate that went disastrously for President Biden in June, saying, quote, "People were concerned that statements were allowed to just hang and not be disputed by the candidate Biden at the time, or the moderators." So, I mean, Dawn, you've been in these news now. Like, where does Lindsay Davis get off? And I'm taking her quote, and I'm just kind of reading into it here. It's almost like she's saying, you know what, I'll make up for what CNN didn't do, and I'll pick up the slack that the other network didn't seem to carry. Is that the impression you get from that quote?
I think that she, first of all, why was she moderating the, there are so many other more qualified people, well, frankly, than both of them.
Which you said before
her.
The debate, once we found out who was going to be doing it.
Most people didn't know who she was. So then she was on there, and we learned why she was on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many more people who've covered politics, who are veterans at ABC News. I don't really understand why they had her. But she's, to me, she just, it was obvious. She's very awoke person who's there to make sure that she represents that sliver of whatever. Here's the problem. In that newsroom and in ABC News, Disney owned, she's somebody who's celebrated because of her very far left, you know, seemingly liberal views.
Yes.
And she was there. So she was there to just call it out and give those responses. The surprise was David Muir. He was surprising because usually people thought, well, he's more down the middle of the road. He was not.
Yep.
And so that, I think, took people back. And the only one who's happy about all of this is because, remember, little George was very upset because he wanted the biggity-big title.
Sloppidopoulos.
And so he is probably, you know, kind of giving the shiv in the back. So George Stephanopoulos, you know, wants all the big titles of the place, clearly thought David Muir was a lightweight, and now we have this going on. So
yep. Also on Sunday, apparently, according to this column, I didn't see this, but they say on Sunday, ABC News Martha Raddatz even noted that Harris was wrong on multiple fronts and not fact-checked when she said, quote, there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war around the world. Raddatz says our fact checkers found that to be false. There are currently, and maybe there are people that are listening that have a loved one overseas, there are currently 900 U.S. military personnel in Syria, 2,500 U.S. troops in Iraq. All have been under regular threat from drones and missiles for months. So you have about 3,500 American heroes serving in active combat. Kamala says there's not one, and that goes unfact-checked until Martha Raddatz, colleague, by the way, of Lindsay Davis and David Muir on Sunday, says, no, that's not true.
By the way, we have David Muir actually gave an interview.
Oh, he's doing spin.
We have that interview, and I'll play it for you at 7:45. It was in an unconventional place that he gave this interview. I wasn't expecting this, but
Taco Bell drive through.
It's not some place we usually play cuts from.
Okay,
so we'll get to that at 7:45.
A little tease. Yep. You've got my interest peaked. 855-839-1210. Come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour, and then I've got to give up a lot of love, a lot of credit to Republicans. Keep it going. You're doing it. See, it's not that hard. Details coming up. Kale and Company, stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The pushback and the concern over mail-in ballots, and you don't trust it, you don't want to do it. And we know that Republicans will show up and outvote Democrats on Election Day, but Democrats typically utilize early voting mail-in ballots and get a big lead when early voting starts. But you guys are listening, whether it's this audience or statewide. Donald Trump tweeting yesterday, specifically on X at 1:56 p.m., Trump said, early voting in Pennsylvania, in all capital letters, go vote. Make America Great Again, signed it, DJT. And it looks like that is occurring. I've got some numbers here just to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. According to the state's website, pa.gov/vote, in 2020, on November 5th of 2020, Republicans had a total of 376,000 mail-in ballots. Here we are, and this was yesterday, so 50 days out from the election. This time around, 4 years later, that number is 321,077 votes, with still 7 weeks to go. Democrats 4 years ago, mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, 1.1 million. As of right now, 798,000. They are down. Republicans are up. And we're talking about a difference of 247,000 mail-in ballots. A swing 4 years later in the state that could determine the election, in a state in which was decided 4 years ago by about 150,000 votes. And then specifically in Bucks County, these numbers courtesy of Scott Pressler yesterday on social media. Pennsylvania voter registration, Bucks County, June of 2020, right? Summer of the pandemic. Democrats had a 15,582 advantage in Bucks County of registered voters. Right now, in September of 2024, Republicans have the lead. There are more registered Republicans in Bucks County than there are Democrats. In the last 4 years, Bucks County has shifted 17,432 voters to the right. That is tremendous, tremendous work. A, by Scott Pressler, B, by you, and C, for taking advantage of mail-in ballot registration. I thought most people would commit the same mistakes of 4 years ago. If these numbers are accurate, according to the state website, with early mail-in ballots, as well as Scott Pressler's numbers locally in Bucks County, it seems like Republicans got the message and they refuse to let this be their Achilles heel 4 years later. Dawn, I know you talk a lot about it. You talk to moms at the grassroots level.
Well, Linda Kearns, ProtectTheVote.com.
And her as well, a lot of people for credit. Yep.
So because of that court case that was still going down last week, the mail-in ballots aren't quite ready yet. They're still printing them in Pennsylvania. So there's not really, quote-unquote, early voting. But because of all, they had to get through the litigation.
Mm-hmm.
So Linda will, you know, ProtectTheVote.com, the state, the Commonwealth has all those lists up. So we'll let you know. We'll definitely let you know when those are in the mail. But the mail-in ballots are not, they're being printed as we speak, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a process that's happening because there were many challenges mostly with regard to third-party candidates.
855-839-1210 if you want to join the show. Hour number two is on the way. We'll get some news from Dawn and then some unbelievable footage as the conflict in the Middle East continues. You're going to want to get to YouTube to see this. Back after this here on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.